Thank you so very much, and I know that those that really know me know that it's only the gift that God has given in me what you appreciate. You don't like me. I'm ornery, I'm mean, I'm tough, I hurt people with my forked tongue at times, you know. But because of the grace of God that God's put in me, he changed me, you know. He's baptized us in the power of God's holy love. And, you know, I'm gonna get right to it this morning. We have communion we want to talk about, and I want to bounce to that. And if you're looking for a sermon today, Pastor Brent needs to come and preach, because I'm just going to tell you a story, all right? Today, I'm just going to tell you a story, what God did in our life. So with that, let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for your love and for your goodness. Thank you for this time that we've gathered together here today, and I am so humbled by the outpouring of your love and the outpouring of support and the outpouring of generosity. Lord, we just ask you to touch and minister to each and every one today, and Lord, help me to convey what's on my heart today in a way that it will encourage people, and Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I tell you what, Pastor Brent, I call, my wife says, it's Brent, it's not Brett. And I said, okay, I'm sorry. Pastor, I just say thank you. I tell you what, I walked in this place, and the Holy Spirit was strong here. And it's because of the worship team. Oh, man, where's that worship leader at? We're gonna have, you know, I want to tell you something. Most of you know that I used to dance all the way across this auditorium. How many of you remember me just cutting a rug up here, all right? And then you started doing that, and I thought, well, I don't know if I should or not. I better wait, see if I can get some permission first, all right? Because I believe in honoring the leadership, all right? But anyway, hey, you're awesome, man. You know, that's great. Let's give your worship team a round of applause, all right? They are awesome. Powerful. Praise God. And I tell you what, Pastor, you are a great man, and I thank God for South Point choosing you to be their pastor. And the stories, the aspirations, the visions, all that God gives to us is never done until the day's done, you know? And so with that, I just say thank you for having me here. I count it a great honor. I thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to come to share my story. Monday, before the fire, okay, it was the 8th, what would that be? The 7th, 6th, 5th, whatever, November or something, on Monday. I don't do this all the time, but I just happened to be, I took my dog, because he's getting older, like me. I took my dog and my horse out to a place where he could run and get in the water and ride, because his legs are becoming arthritic and he can't hardly go on the trail rides that I always go on. And I went on that day by myself. I don't normally do that. But that day I went by myself. I told Rhonda, I said, I'm going to take Buddy out I'm going to go out for a couple hours. So we were riding, I was by myself, was riding out at what they call the reserve, and it's a duck reserve out of Oroville. And I was riding, and all of a sudden I get this phone call. Oh, okay. You know, and I look at it, and it's Pastor Gene Lawrence. And he's a 96-year-old man that's in our church. He's pastored several churches in our district, very well known. He built the church in Stockton on Highway 5. If you go by Highway 5, you see that big round building out there. He built that church. He was there for several years. And he happens to be in our church there at Paradise First. Been there ever since I've been there. And he calls me on the phone and he says, Pastor Jack. I said, yes. What are you doing? Should I tell him I'm horseback riding or not? I mean, this guy's next to God. I just didn't know what he... I said, well, what do you need, buddy? He goes, I need to talk to you. And I said, okay. So I went, I met him. After I got back into my office, I called him. He came in. And he starts not yelling at me or anything. He just starts talking to me about the anointing. He says, Jack, Pastor Jack, I know you know this. I know. And, you know, he's sitting down. And he's 96 years old, and he's kind of frail. And he's given me the Pentecostal shower when he's preaching. You know what I'm talking about? And he says, you know this. You know that the anointing is everything you need. I know these things that you do at the church are good and all this stuff, but it's the anointing. You need that anointing more than ever. You need that anointing. And, man, I was getting all convicted, man, going, whoa. And so after he's over with, he says, okay, let's pray. And I said, Brother Gene, I said, can you do something for me? He goes, yes. And I said, it's just me and you in the office. And I got down on my knees and sat in front, because he was sitting down. I got down on my knees and I said, will you lay your hands on me and pray for me that I will have that anointing that you're talking about? Didn't know what Thursday we was going to face on Thursday morning. The anointing. And I say sometimes, God, you knew this was going to happen. You knew this was going to happen before the foundations of this world, before I was even born, before I even showed up here. You knew this event was going to happen, and I don't know why you chose me to go through it. But he has chosen me to do that. Now I look back. How God, and in remembrance, you know, I knew that you were going to receive communion today, and I was thinking about things, and a lot of people say, well, I got a fresh new word. I don't have a fresh new word right now. I'm just reflecting on how faithful God has been in the past. Like that song that we sang this morning, how faithful he has been in the past. He's faithful today, he's faithful yesterday, and he'll be faithful tomorrow. Amen? Amen. He's faithful. See, that's what I was reflecting on, is his faithfulness and what God has done in our lives. And then on that day, as I look back in July, I was doing it again. I've done this over and over again, just kind of saying, God, are you sure? Are you sure you chose me to do this thing? And I look back over the messages that God prepared us for back in June, July. We did this series on crazy faith, and we talked about crazy faith and how the culture is really turning goofy, and that we need to rise above that culture. We need to affect that culture instead of the culture affecting us, and we need to rise, and it's going to take people with crazy faith, with people who are going to be risky, people who stand up and get out of the boat of the comfort zone and walk on water and look, keep their eyes on Christ. We need people who will rise up with crazy faith. See, we were calling people out to be crazy in that. And we even got T-shirts, man, that said Crazy Faith. And, man, everybody bought them. We had to order a bunch more. People walking around Paradise, California, Crazy Faith, Crazy Faith. And I said, hey, that's cool. You know, we need to be crazy faith, crazy about Jesus, you know, and about what we believe. And then we went to our small group settings, and we called Daring Faith. It was a great curriculum from Rick Warren's curriculum, and it was very good. And everyone, all of our home groups, I think we had six or seven home groups, and we met. And we, Rhonda and I, normally don't have a home group. We usually go to various different home groups throughout. But this time we felt that we wanted to have a home group in our home. So we invited people in. We had, you know, everybody, I tell people, I said, it's not the amount of people you have at your group. It's how many groups you have. And so we try to get a cutting point off of 10 or 12 people. That's all that they can have. And if you have that many, we need to get another group. You know, that's kind of the idea of that, small groups. And so we had 10 or 12 people coming and talking about small groups. I had my neighbor over there on the other side of me. She's a young lady. And I met her because she liked to walk my dog. She would walk my dog. And it was awesome with that. And I told her about the group and told her, hey, I'd like to invite you to our small group. So she came and I told her about who we were, the Assemblies of God, and, you know, charismatic, Pentecostal, this type of thing. So I didn't want her to get all freaked out, you know. But she came in, and the first night that she came to our Bible study, she was really, really, enjoyed it. And she says, well, I was just wondering when the snakes were going to come out. And I said, well, we lead up that. I said, about the fourth or fifth week, I'll bring the snakes out, all right? So that way you build your faith up, all right? Many of you know what I'm talking about. That. If you don't, that's all right. Don't worry about it. But the idea is this, is that we were these messages about crazy faith and daring faith. And everyone in our congregation that participated in those studies said, you know what? That was the best that we've ever had. It spoke to us. And we celebrate, and we were getting ready to celebrate that evening or that next Sunday night as what we call a celebration time. And so the thing was is that it then all of a sudden, crazy faith, daring faith came to reality. On November the 8th, on Thursday morning, again, I just got through feeding my horse, and I looked up about 6:30, 6:45. I looked up and saw this billow of smoke coming out behind the ridge out there. And I went home and I told Rhonda. I said, Rhonda, I said, you got the news on? I said, there's a fire coming. And we walked outside, and by that time it was increased quite a bit. You could even see the glow. And so I said, well, I'm going to hurry up and go get Raven and go take my horse and evacuate him. And so she said, all right. So we was getting ready, and I went down around our house, and then when I got to that main road, Pence Road, all of a sudden these two fire trucks just come barreling past me. And so I turned to Huey. And I followed them back. One of the trucks landed right in front of our house. Rhonda had the garage door open, and all of a sudden she sees these two firemen jump out of their truck with their shovel axes and runs right up to her and says, get out of here now. I mean, and then the other one just starts running down her street saying, get out of here. And I pulled up about that time. I looked out and I looked over behind our house. Fire was all over. I go, whoa. What's going on? And he was just, and it was so fast. There was 50-mile-an-hour winds. And it just began to encompass the entire town within probably 4 hours, 3 hours. Rhonda and Jody and Casey, my son-in-law, they were supposed to meet me at the church, but I couldn't get there. They had to go on. I was still trying to go get my horse, but I couldn't get there. And so it took them, 3 hours to get out of town, about 12 miles. It took me 7 hours to get out of town and to get back to Chico, not knowing what was happening. And I know that it's awesome that you guys celebrate Pastor Appreciation Month. They do that for us, too, at church. And it was the month of October. They received the offerings and told that, and then they give us a check on the 1st of November and the 2nd of November, the 3rd of November. I went on Wednesday, I went and cashed the check. I put it in my top drawer of my desk, not knowing that the next day it would be up in flames. But the Lord is blessed beyond that. But the idea is this, is that it happened so fast, that the fire came so fast and so furious through that place. People said, well, we didn't have any warning. No one had any warning. We never expected anything. So Pastor Mike Trenton called me. And he says, Jack, he goes, I lived there for 17 years. And we always believed that one day it would happen. Not if it would happen. That one day it would happen. And it finally happened, didn't it? I said, yes. The entire town has been destroyed. I shouldn't say the entire town. Let's say 280 businesses have been destroyed. Over 13,000 homes have been destroyed. And about 90, I don't know what the death toll is now, but only about 90 people have had their loss of life. Thankfully, that none of our church people that I know of had any fatalities there. And so everybody got out and this type of thing. Now begins the return. Now, that was that first time I was able to go out and see the the ruins was on the video. I didn't even know there was video on me, and actually at first I was just walking and I was talking and I was, as you heard the video, and I saw that and I thought, my goodness. Yes, I was heartbroken, but you know, there was that anointing. Woo, yeah, that anointing that lies on the inside of you. That because of what you see it, but you don't accept it. You embrace it and you say, hey, this is a trouble. This is time. This is a tough time. But my God is a big God. And that my God has the ability to take what has been ruined and transform it. He did that to me in my own personal life. He's did that to many of you in your own personal life. You were ornery. You were sinners. You were ready to go to hell. But God, by his grace and mercy, came in and not only delivered you, he transformed you into a citizen of his kingdom. You see, God has the power to do that. Isn't that awesome? That's why we serve a wonderful big God like him. That's why we serve a faithful God, a God that is able to touch our lives and minister to us. And I just want to say, Rhonda and I both have been so overwhelmed with the generosity and the concern and the love of people, not only in this area, but all over the world. People have contacted us, talked to us. Jerry Smith, we supported his ministry. We support his ministry there in Ecuador for many years. And he sends us, the church, and us an offering, just like you guys did. You know, it's mind-boggling. And last Sunday afternoon was the first time that we were able to gather our church together. There's about 80 of us, I believe, met in First Assembly of God, Chico's gymnasium after service on Sunday morning. And I had close to $4,000 gift cards, cash, that I was giving out to our people. And it was because of the outpouring of the love that you and many others like you from all over this, that gave to us. And I told them this. I said, this comes from our brothers and sisters of the Assemblies of God. This is an outpouring of love from the Assemblies of God. And I said, you know what? I want you to do something for me. If you hear anybody say anything about the Assemblies of God, I give you the permission to black both of their eyes in Jack Wright's name, all right? Not in Jesus' name. He wouldn't do that. And I didn't know this. My youth pastor was videoing that. So I was at the district office last week, and I was telling about some things, so I told him, and old Sam Huddleston says, I want that. So anyway, I said, be careful with it, all right? But anyway, the thing is that knowing that God has. Now, this is the first time in my life, really, that I don't have any plans for tomorrow. It's crazy. It's really crazy. Crazy faith, you know? I mean, you know, and I'm just now coming. I think Rhonda and I both are just kind of coming out of the fog of, did this really happen? Did this really happen? Like on Sunday morning, I asked them if I could just meet with our people because we needed, that was the first Sunday it was over, and I came and I just shared with the people there at First Assembly in Chico, and they embraced us very well. And I said, you know, I had lunch with Pastor Scott Williams, who was a former pastor of Chico. Now he's at Cameron Park on that Thursday. I said, hey, buddy. I said, how do you like my motorhome? He goes, where's it at? I said, you're sitting in it, man. Everything I own. I'm not kidding. Everything we own was in that car. That's weird for Rhonda and I. You know? And I met with Superintendent Allen, and I did the same thing. And he was, where's your motorhome at? I said, well, you're in it, man. I'm taking you. Just the reality of the fact that it was everything. I had to go to Kohl's and buy a pair of Levi's and a pair of shoes and a shirt for service on Sunday morning. I mean, that's how fast it was gone. That's how it was. It was crazy. I mean, when I say things like this, I'm not suggesting you to do anything. God has blessed us abundantly, all right? I'm just trying to tell you a little bit about the realities that I've gone through, all right? And that it's that never thinking that anything like this would ever happen to us. But I'm going to tell you, my friend, we are not discouraged. And just like I said on the video, I think, I have not chosen to be a victim. I have chosen to be a victorious believer. And I don't know what God has for us. Just recently, Pastor Scott Williams has gone to Cameron Park. He's the pastor there now. And so First Assembly of God doesn't have a pastor in Chico. And so those of you that hear what I'm saying is that on December the 16th, I'll become the interim pastor at First Assembly in Chico. Now, I don't know how long that'll last, but I know that in June of 1990, I came here as an interim pastor. I was the interim pastor for 4 months. Then I became the pastor and stayed here for almost 16 years. So I'm not suggesting anything. I'm just one of these. So be praying for us, all right? See what God will do in that area. But we don't know. I mean, we're very good. We're insured well of the church, okay? So we just have to wait and see what we're going to do. I know that they'll build, but it's going to take a long time. It's going to take a long time, and we know that. That's where my son-in-law, Pastor Joel, that first Sunday, he texted me this thing, a message, and he is talking about, I think it was in Habakkuk, where it says, be patient. And a lot of people are saying, Pastor, you need to be patient. Well, I said, I know that, man. I said, that's my strongest Christian character is patience. Why are you laughing, Lynn? There we go. Appreciate it. My strongest Christian character that is to develop patience, man. You know, that's the fruit of the Spirit that just rises up on the inside of me on a continual basis. Well, it's been a struggle to be patient. But that's something that we're going to have to walk through. And I just want to say something to you, and I know that you're going to have communion. I'm going to quit right now because I just, my whole thing was to say thank you, appreciate you for loving us, for going beyond any, I was just totally shocked when I got your gifts. It was, you know, Rhonda and I both just cried. We couldn't keep it back. But can I act like the pastor for just a moment, all right? Just a moment. A worship guy, come here. Come on. Worship team. Worship team, come on. Now, Pastor Steve Snyder, those of you who remember Pastor Steve Snyder, he was our minister of music here for over 10 years. And Bobby Hebert, where are you at? You probably remember this a couple of times. I'd always say, play this song that has God in it. And now Rhonda's our worship leader at the church, and I always say, you know that song that has Jesus, Lord, in it? Play that song. Okay. I want you to get up on your tuff right here, and I want you to play a song. Oh, I know a good song that is, How Great Is Our God. You guys like that song? You know that song? How great. And then when it comes to Jesus above all names, I want us to sing that with us. And can we all stand and sing that? And then after that, I just want to see God. I just want God to pour out his spirit here on us and on your pastor and on this church. And then because we are serving a great God. A great God. Because the Bible says he put a new song in my heart. It's not a song of fear. It's not a song of doubt. It's not a song of disbelief. It's not a song of depression. My friend, it's a song of victory. Because we serve a God that is able to pull down every stronghold. We have a God that is able to take ashes and turn them into great things. And I believe that not only for us at Paradise or in Chico area, I believe that for every person here today and everybody in this church, that God has the power to change our lives and to transform us. Let's sing it, brother. How great is our God.